Thanks for listening to the Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for the Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Ah, here we go on a Monday. The world's a good place. Live in Los Angeles, this is the Herd, wherever you may be and however you may be listening. Fox Sports Radio, iHeartRadio, FS1. 1 hour from now, Colin Wright. Colin was wrong. Plenty of both. Urban Meyer next hour as well. Lots of information potentially there. NFL playoff weekend is set. Joy Taylor, how are you?
I don't even know where to start.
I know.
Where do we start? We start with Friday? We start with last night?
Yeah, it was college football. Had a good weekend. A lot of fun stuff.
Well, it was not a financially fruitful weekend for me, but it was a great watch.
Well, let me start with Doug Peterson, coach of the Philadelphia Eagles. Twitter had a meltdown last night. I didn't love what he did. But, you know, there's an old saying with your kids, you can always tell when they're lying because they won't stop talking. Did somebody take the cookie? Yeah, my son would be like 5 years old. He'd give me like a 2-minute answer. No would have sufficed. When you start rambling on about stuff, you'd think as an adult you'd learn how to figure out how to fib. But Doug Peterson last night, when he pulled Jalen Hurts against the best defensive front arguably in football, and Jalen Hurts didn't have a big statistical night, but he was a gamer, had a couple of nice drives, and they pull him for a third string guy. Here's what Doug Peterson said.
Yes, I was coaching and win to win. Yes, that was my decision solely. Nate has obviously been here for 4 years, and I felt that he deserved an opportunity to get some snaps.
Well, time out. Giving a third-string guy some snaps because he earned them and coaching to win is two different things. I mean, if that's coaching to win, then Belichick, in the middle of his dynasty, should have been subbing Tom Brady all the time. You know, give that third-string guy some Ryan Mallett some snaps. If you're coaching to win, you don't pull your best quarterback out of the game, and he's the best available quarterback. Got caught in little fibs, like my son stealing the cookie. 2-minute answer, wrong. He stole the cookie. You can't, Jalen Hurts, first of all, it's a bad night for Doug Peterson. You knew going into this game, points were going to be at a premium. You have a good defense, and so do they. Alex Smith struggled against your defense. Jalen Hurts was a gamer, but kind of struggling. He gets you into field goal position to tie the game. He's a rookie with a handful of starts. Best defensive front in football. Kick the field goal. You know, going into that game, points were a premium. You can't ask Jalen Hurts to finish all his drives in the end zone. He did his job. He got you in scoring position. Kick the damn field goal. The rookie quarterback with 5 starts did as much as you could ask a rookie quarterback to do against Washington and Ron Rivera's defense. He got you in a position to tie the game. And Washington's got better defensive personnel right now than Philadelphia's got offensive personnel this morning. And he got you in scoring position, and you butchered it. Second of all, while we were doing it, we were tanking to get a better draft pick. What? You went from 9th to 6th. You're not drafting a quarterback. If you were doing that to get Trevor Lawrence, I'd get it, even Justin Fields. You're not going to draft a quarterback. So you're going to go from getting the best corner to getting the best defensive lineman. You need both. That's not an excuse. Forget the integrity of the game, which you whizzed on. But just think about this. Doug Peterson, according to reports this morning, Carson Wentz wants out. So you butchered the Carson Wentz relationship. And this is how you nurture the Jalen Hurts relationship? I'll get back. I'm not going to be a moralist here on the integrity of the NFL. The NFL moves the game to Sunday night. You're the only game. You're billionaire owner. You're the only game that we always overreact to everything that happens on Sunday and Monday. Good or bad, we overreact. You got to know the temperature of the room, Doug. But don't give me this, we were coaching to win, and I went to Nate Sudfeld. Those don't work. They don't converge. If you're coaching to win, you keep Jalen Hurts in. You stole the game from Jalen Hurts. This would have been a signature win going into the offseason. That Jalen Hurts knocked the Washington football team and the best defense in the division and a Super Bowl winning coach out of the playoffs. That is a great offseason. And you're not a great team. Sometimes an average college football team wins a bowl game. But boy, it makes the offseason training and recruiting better when you win that Sun Bowl, you win that Holiday Bowl. It's not beating Bama. It's not beating Clemson or Ohio State. But it's winning a bowl game. And that would have been a great win for Jalen Hurts. A tremendous win over the best defense, best defensive front in the NFC. And so, you know, it's funny. Bill Belichick, week 17. He was playing to win. Anthony Lynn just got fired this morning. Four-game winning streak, end of the year, coaching his ass off. Houston Texans are a mess. Who is their coach? Romeo Crennel. They're playing hair on fire. And you're going to Nate Sudfeld. And by the way, it reeks of arrogance. So I'm reading a story this morning that Carson Wentz and Doug Peterson's relationship is fractured beyond repair. So your owner, Jeffrey Lurie, a top five owner in the NFL, pays Carson Wentz $150 million. Your job is to nurture that thing and develop that kid from North Dakota. And you butchered it. And then, now Jalen Hurts is the next one you're going to have to pay. And last night, you know, you think Jalen Hurts, he gave you a little side eye there on the sidelines. So did his offensive lineman. None of this I thought was good. And I don't want to spend too much time on the integrity of the NFL and, you know, I mean, it's Indianapolis Colts wanted to get Andrew Luck. I got it. I would get it if they were, like, going to the number one choice. But I thought it was a bad night. I thought it was arrogant. I thought you stole something from Jalen Hurts. You know, these rookie quarterbacks, these Joe Burrows and these Justin Herberts, you know, all these young kids out there, these Tuas, these last couple of games matter. Like, that's what you think about in the offseason. You going to work out in a cold day, that gets you into the gym a little earlier. Oh, we last game, we played well, I got a couple of W's, and Doug Peterson stole it from him. Okay, here we go. Super wild card weekend. So, a bunch of interesting games. Saturday, Colts at Buffalo. You know I like Buffalo. Rams at Seattle. I have no idea who's winning that game. Tampa at Washington. Could be closer than you think. Baltimore at Tennessee. Chicago at New Orleans. Cleveland at Pittsburgh. Two of these games feel like they could get ugly. The Bears are not going to New Orleans and beating the Saints. That's going to be ugly. And Cleveland at Pittsburgh has the potential to be a tire fire. Pittsburgh's going to roll. First of all, the Steelers played their backups. Their backups against the best Cleveland Browns roster in at least 15 years, maybe 30. And it was close. I mean, Pittsburgh's offense yesterday, as far as I could tell, was a backup quarterback mostly throwing jump balls up the sideline. And it was close. You know, there's three tiers. When you go to a wedding, there's three tiers of guests. There's the bridal party, you know, family bridal party, front table. That's why we're all there. And then the second group of people, they're around there, six or seven tables. That's an extended family. These are close people. You vacation with them. You babysitting kids, and that's it. And then there's the third tier of guests, which is, you know, the obligatory invitees. The playoffs are similar, and the Bears and the Cleveland Browns feel like, you know, the obligatory invitees. You've gone to the wedding, been at the back table. Yeah, I ran into Doug at a golf tournament a couple years ago. I felt like, hey, honey, I had to invite him to the wedding. Yeah, I saw Cheryl actually in Cancun. We bumped into each other and we got along. She bought me a daiquiri. I thought I had to invite her to the wedding. That's the Browns and the Bears. First of all, the Bears had a six-game losing streak. Unless you're the Jags and Jets, that's hard to do. The Bears had a six-game losing streak near the middle of the season. Utter chaos therein. And the Browns had a negative point differential. Again, not easy to do and make the playoffs. I mean, Pittsburgh sat four of their six starters, four of their six best players, backup quarterback, on the road, and they almost won. Two-point conversion could have changed everything. So I kind of feel like this morning, You know, in Cleveland at the end of the year kind of sputtered. They lost to the Jets. Could have lost to the Steelers. Yesterday, you know, the Bears were unveiled. Mitch Trubisky, low ceiling, kind of fool's gold. Now, I know a lot of you will say, well, what about Washington? What about Washington? Well, what about Washington? Washington's got an excuse. They had a coach fighting cancer, draft pick quarterback busting. They had a new staff. They had no preseason, and they started 1-5. But since then, they've been 6-4. They have a Super Bowl coach. They have the best defensive front in the NFL. And I wouldn't want to play Washington with Alex Smith. I wouldn't want to play Washington. I'd like to play Chicago, and I'd like to play Cleveland. So I kind of feel like the Bears and the Browns are at those couple back tables at a wedding. And you know how you go to, if you're ever at a wedding and you're one of those back tables, you're sitting around a bunch of people that, like you, are surprised they actually got invited to the wedding. Yeah, I can't believe it. I got it in the mail. I was like, I haven't seen Doug in 4 years. I can't believe they invited me to the wedding. That's the Bears. That's the Browns. Congratulations. Been like, you know, 18 years for Cleveland, but it's this fire will be doused rather quickly. All right, coming up next, there's a reason Tom Brady is rolling, and it's not because he's playing Detroit and Atlanta. A lot of people, including Patrick Mahomes a couple of weeks ago, played Atlanta and didn't look very good. Tom Brady, 43 years young, calling right, calling wrong, top of next hour. The story on Tua, what are the Dolphins to do, all coming up next.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
Start the new year with ButcherBox, 10 pounds of meat, ultimate keto bundle, one pork butt, 2 pounds of ground beef, 3 pounds of bone-in chicken thigh. Sign up, ButcherBox.com/herd, ButcherBox.com/H-E-R-D. So Tom Brady threw for 4 touchdowns. He looked great again. Oh, it's just the Atlanta Falcons. Oh, you mean the team that gave the Kansas City Chiefs Patrick Mahomes trouble a couple weeks ago? You know, they blew him out twice. A lot of NFL scouts, a lot of former players, now broadcasters, a lot of anonymous New England coaches. You heard a lot of stuff when Brady left New England. He's washed. He's done. In the last month of the year, he led the NFL, the entire league, including Josh Allen and Patrick Mahomes, in passing yards, passing touchdowns, 4-0, and second in passer rating. He finished with 40 touchdowns, 12 picks, 65% completion percentage, and a passer rating above his career average. Arm, still solid to above average. Athletic ability, never had much. Leadership, A+. Pre-snap, outstanding. Tell me dramatically where Tom Brady is not as good as 5 years ago. Now, he's older, like LeBron James. When you're older, he can't play 39 minutes every night. Tom needs a little more help, needs a little better protection, doesn't want to get hit. But he has predictably aged well. One of the reasons I thought Brady would win the divorce and do well, I predicted New England would stink this year and Brady would be a playoff guy. I thought they'd win 9 or 10. They won 11. His numbers are better than I thought, but I thought they would be very good. Is because he's got the right traits. You ever meet anybody? I'll make a prediction. If you know somebody that's 40 and they eat pretty well, don't do a ton of red meat. Not a ton. They exercise regularly. They have compatible personalities. They're not combative. They're compatible. They get along with people. They laugh easily. They like to laugh. They're curious. They have a nice social circle, and they have for years. They have pets. They'll age well. Those are good aging traits. Brady's got great aging traits. So does LeBron, by the way. They eat right. They work out. They're curious. They're coachable. They spend a lot of money on their body. It's not a coincidence that smokers and people who, you know, knock down about 6-7 beers a night, argue on Twitter all day, really political, small social circle, look like crap at 60. Like, Big Ben does not have aging well traits. He doesn't. Work ethic, debatable, diet, regrettable, drama all the time. Like Brady has the kind of traits. This is why Russell Wilson will probably age very well. It's why Brady does. It's why LeBron does. Smart people who are willing to put in the time, who are compatible with other systems and coaches and people and teammates. This is what you look like if you have some talent. Big Ben's closer to what you look like if you're not quite an A at those. You're a B to a B minus at those. So Brady's not washed. He's also not somebody who has relied heavily on his ability to evade the pass rush. All of his football traits, leadership, pre-snap, smart, efficient, accuracy, those all age really, really well. It's like the baseball player. The stolen base leader doesn't age as well, you know, as the third baseman who's got a good arm, treats his body right, hits for some power. Here's Joy Taylor with the news.
No.
Turn on the news.
This is the Herdline News.
Well, you know what this particular Monday in NFL season means?
Yeah, people getting fired.
Yes. Well, the Chargers have fired Anthony Lynn after four seasons as the team's head coach. The Chargers won four in a row to finish 2020,
but a
7-9 record was Lynn's second losing season in a row. He leaves the team with a 33-31 regular season record with only one playoff win in 2018.
You know, I was talking to a friend last night about this. He started losing the same way, which is always trouble because then you get a brand. So he would get leads. I know Anthony, good dude, alpha. They never took a playoff. That team played hard. So he'll get a second job. But Anthony got into this thing where they'd get leads, he'd get conservative, and they'd lose leads. And then in the last couple of weeks, he started listening to analytics more, and they didn't, and they won. But it was a little bit too little and late. And also, Justin Herbert was so darn good that you get to a point where you're like, okay, we may have like John Elway here. We got to get this thing right fast.
Had they had a season like this, perhaps with Tyrod Taylor,
he'd keep his job.
He'd probably have another year.
I think he would.
And we hadn't seen anything from Justin Herbert. Justin Herbert started the clock on a lot of people.
Like 5 minutes
into the
game. He
started the clock on Tua. He started the clock on Anthony Lynn.
Yep.
And, you know, I guess it's fortunate for Justin. Well, we'll see who they hire, but it's fortunate for Chargers fans because now you know you have the quarterback of the future. He's a rookie, so you have several more years of not having to pay him a lot of money, and they already have a lot of talent on that team.
Oh, yeah.
So they're in a great situation moving forward. The only unfortunate thing for the Chargers is the division that they're in.
Right.
So you're kind of always fighting for a wild card spot in that situation, at least for the next 10 years with Patrick Mahomes and Andy Reid. But Justin Herbert had an incredible season. He set the rookie record for touchdown passes with 31.
I think you said it right. It's a great way to say it. He set the clock. He reset the clock on everybody. Like when Justin Herbert came in, you know what? We're a little less patient with Tua. I mean, that's the reality. I look at Tua and I'm like, okay, I saw Justin Herbert.
Joe Burrow, you should expect. He's the number one overall pick. He was the national champion and had one of the greatest season for a college football quarterback ever.
He better start looking like Justin Herbert. Like, I mean, that's the reality of it. When Andrew Luck came in, all the young quarterbacks got judged. Like, well, if Andrew Luck can do it with the worst offensive line in football, why aren't you winning?
You're going to be judged by your peers, contemporaries, no matter what. But certainly you're going to be evaluated by your draft class on a higher level.
Yeah.
Because you should be, in theory, not only on the at least on the same level as them, but better. You were drafted before him.
Yeah.
Now, one space before him, but still. He started the clock on a lot of people. So I don't know what direction the Chargers are going to go in, if they're going to go with a coordinator or a former head coach, but they're now in competition with several other teams as well because there are a lot of jobs available.
You better challenge Justin Herbert, 4-point college student. The knock on the Oregon staff was
they didn't push him.
And they couldn't keep up with him. Like the offense wasn't sophisticated enough for him because we saw him go to the NFL. We're like, God, Oregon coaches.
You look like a different player.
Like, what are you doing? So you better find somebody that can keep wits with him because when you're a college athlete and you're over a 4-point student in biology, he's probably a pretty quick kid.
I'd like to see them bring in an offensive coach.
Yeah.
So the Dolphins were the odd team out in the AFC playoff picture after losing to the Bills.
Wow.
Tua struggled against Buffalo, threw three interceptions in the game. The usually strong Miami defense also had a tough time. They allowed a season-high 56 points. And Josh Allen put up big numbers, 224 yards and three touchdowns before being replaced by Matt Barkley in the second half. This was the worst case scenario for the Miami Dolphins.
And Tua.
Yes. So, look, losing to the Bills is expect. That's okay. That's allowed. The Bills are a Super Bowl bound team. They're playing out of their minds, and Josh Allen is having an MVP season. That's acceptable. Now, the defense, I don't have an explanation for. 56 points is a disaster.
Maybe it's just Buffalo's. Maybe it's Josh Allen.
Buffalo
maybe that's
is
the
playing incredible. But so, look, you're not going to have a Super Bowl performance by your defense every single week either. Right. And when your offense is getting off the field within 3 minutes every single time, that doesn't help either.
Right.
Tua averaged 6.3 yards per attempt this season. He tied for 29th out of 35 qualified players. He's not pushing the ball down the field. It's very obvious. And dink and dunk is fine if you also have the capability of going over the top. I was thinking about it yesterday because, you know, obviously Tom Brady, especially in his last few years, a lot of people are saying he's regressing. He doesn't have the arm strength or whatever. Like, Brady has been death by a million cuts for most of his career.
Right.
But he can also put it downfield like that with absolute accuracy. You can't disrespect him.
Right.
You have to have that in your bag. It's fine if you want to be precision and do short yard passes.
It's what's hurt Drew Brees in the last 3 years.
Yes.
They dump off to Alvin Kamara a lot. Thank God Michael Thomas is virtually uncoverable. But no, there is something to say with Tua. I feel like he's playing safe.
Yes.
And if he doesn't punish you over the top, what's the point? Beat me there.
A game like this, when it's completely gotten away from you, why not? Why not make him push it down the field? Yeah. Like, he's already had 3 interceptions. Like, how much worse can it get? Let him air it out. It was the worst case scenario. Justin Herbert sets a new record for rookie touchdown passes. You've got Josh Allen, who's going to be in your division for a very long time, putting 56 up on you, and Tua looks like that, and you've got the Texans pick. It's a rough situation for the Dolphins.
Yeah, it is. Joy with the news.
Well, that's the news.
And thanks for stopping by.
The Herd Line News.
It's really funny, and you go into the playoffs. Does hot matter? Like, Baltimore and Green Bay are hot. Kansas City's really good, but not playing well. But it is amazing. I counted this morning 8 teams in the playoffs that have major issues. I mean, Tennessee's defense is bad. Seattle's offense is currently bad. Chicago's got a quarterback issue. So does Indianapolis. You don't have to be a perfect football team to make the playoffs. What you've got to be able to do is hide your flaws. Can Cleveland hide its back end of its defense? They can against Buffalo. Maybe they will against Pittsburgh, but... You know, there's only 4 teams in the NFL that I look at now and I think, yeah, I wouldn't want to play Baltimore, Buffalo, Tampa, Green Bay. Let's bring Greg Jennings on, decade in the NFL, Super Bowl, Pro Bowler. He called the Falcons Bucks, joining us by, brought to you by Mercedes-Benz. So it is easy to say, Greg, well, they beat Atlanta twice. But I watched Atlanta give Kansas City real problems. I saw Mahomes struggle with Kansas City 2 weeks ago. You also know it is hard to beat an in-division rival, thump them 2 times in 3 weeks, regardless of the personnel issues. So it does feel like with Tampa, you saw it, it feels more than just, well, it's Atlanta. It does feel like Tom Brady in the offense is kind of lubricated and gelling here a little bit. What did you see?
That's exactly what I saw, Colin. And when you talk to those guys within that locker room, specifically Tom, he knows what time it is. And he wasn't concerned about the regular season and how it looked optically to those outside of that locker room. This is exactly where they wanted to be, gelling at the right time. It took him time to really get a grip on the offensive verbiage and get comfortable within this offense. And we're seeing him more comfortable, him throwing the ball with more timing and rhythm. And then you get Antonio Brown and Gronkowski. They're starting to find their football legs. They've been removed from the game for so long. This team is coming together at the right time offensively. Defensively, they were missing a few guys, and it showed. But Atlanta Falcons gave them a run for their money, and they came through and with a statement win.
You know, I got to ask you about I didn't like what Doug Peterson did. I thought he got caught in a lie. He said, I'm playing to win the game. Well, then you wouldn't go to your third string quarterback. I mean, if the Packers in your prime were trying to win games, they wouldn't go to a third string receiver and take you out. Now, if they wanted to argue, we wanted to get Greg Jennings backup reps, that's fine, but that's not playing to win the game. I, as a former player, I just feel like hockey and football, you cannot take a playoff. You lose locker rooms when you start looking ahead 6 months down the road. I didn't like it, and I never played the game. How did it sit with you?
I didn't mind it. I didn't like what he said afterwards. And I think that's what kind of made it a lot more skewed than what it should be. They didn't have anything to play for. However, you do want to play to win, but they have a quarterback situation. And he wanted to evaluate his quarterback. That is fine. Just say that, but don't say what you just alluded to. Oh, we're still playing to win. Yeah, you want to win the game, but the likelihood of you realistically believing you're going to win, playing your third string guy, getting him reps that he hadn't had all year, pretty much, you're not really playing to win. You're not giving your team the best chance that puts them in position to be successful. And that's where the problem lies. And so I don't think I heard Nick Wright this morning. I don't think he owed the Giants anything, but he does owe it to his players to be honest and forthright and just let them know, look, guys, we have a quarterback situation. We're trying to evaluate all talent, everyone, including himself.
Yeah. So there's always been this little, you would think, I know in March Madness for years, you think, oh, the teams that are hot will do really well in March Madness. And the history shows it's just not true. You go into March Madness, it's a whole different style of basketball, and there's a lot of pressure on favorites. So in the playoffs, you would think, well, Baltimore's hot, and Green Bay is hot, and Tom Brady is hot, and Tennessee can't get its defense together. And I've seen that. And then you go into the playoffs, and it's like, okay, all the veterans play with more intensity. The young guys shrink a little bit. So you tell me, in your NFL career with Green Bay, did playing well week 16, 17 matter? Did you ever struggle at the end of a year and catch fire? What does it mean to be hot at the end, if anything?
It does mean something. It means something to be playing really well and gelling at the right time. The Giants did it for years. They would struggle throughout the beginning of the regular season and then come on strong late. And we did it the year we won the Super Bowl. We got in the week 17 against the Chicago Bears, and we went on the road as a wild card team and won the Super Bowl because we gelled at the right time. So I think it does matter. But however, more than that, it's who you're facing. It's matchups. It's the opponent that you're matched up with. And sometimes you just get matched up with, just like in the seedings of NCAA tournament, it's not a good matchup. It doesn't matter what the records are. Sometimes matchup wise, it just doesn't suit the number one team or the lower ranked team. And that's where things can kind of go awry. And so I think it is important for teams to be hot. Green Bay is very hot. Kansas City is not. They're hobbling into the postseason,
yeah,
which is a concern for guys like me who've done that, who've been 15-1 and struggled the first round the first game that we saw against the Giants after getting that bye. It makes a difference how you enter into the postseason.
You know, it's Joy said something earlier that Justin Herbert was so good so fast that it reset the clock on Tua. That you're like, well, wait a minute, Tua, you come on. Yeah, you look, and I watch Tua, and I see Sunday, and you put him juxtaposed with Josh Allen, bigger, stronger, arm, confidence. Miami's got a number three pick. I mean, where do you sit with Tua today after that was the biggest NFL game of his career? They've got the defense, special teams, and it just didn't look good. Where are you today with Tua?
Well, there are questions that need to be answered, and I was hoping that he was able to answer some of them. And listening to Joy, she touched on a lot of what I was saying even last week entering into this game. He had an opportunity to just let it all hang out. Look, you have nothing to lose. Push the ball downfield, put threats and put defenses in a position to where they have to guard beyond 10 yards. And that's something that's concerning because we all know offensively, you can't methodically, it is so hard to methodically dink and dunk, yeah, and get 5 and 6 yards and play, go to 10 to 14 yard drives every single possession. It's almost virtually impossible. You have to win with chunk plays, explosive plays. How does that look? Getting the ball downfield. And that's something that Tua, we saw him do it at Alabama. And that's what's so alarming to me. He can do it. He's just not comfortable. He's not confident right now in his ability. And then you look at Josh Allen, who he was going up against. His confidence is through the roof to where his belief is just like automatic.
Yeah.
I know I got this. Yeah. I know who I am, and it's showing.
Yeah, no, that's a really good point. Josh Allen is just, he's like a basketball player who's hit four straight threes. He's taking bad ones. He doesn't even care what it looks like. Finally, I do think it's significant. I think Lambeau Field, Aaron Rodgers may be a California kid, but he looks very comfortable in cold weather. There is something about Lambeau. It gets darker and colder over the next 3 or 4 weeks. And I do think it plays with your head if you're a dome team like New Orleans. I think it. Go back to your career, because Green Bay is playing really well right now. Did you ever face a team and think to yourself, oh, Lambeau's in their head. This weather's in their head.
Of course. You can look at when teams come out in the pregame. It's happened to us. Guys who play in the cold. I remember the 13-3 year we had where the Bears end up beating us. And I mean, they beat us bad. Soldier Field, we ended up facing the Giants and we lost to them in the NFC Championship game in 08 or 07. And they came out pregame, they were all sleeves. We came out pregames, we were no sleeves, and then we were freezing. We went back in, they come out, Colin, and none of them had sleeves on. We knew right then they beat us. It was mental. And so you talk about a team that plays indoors, and I've been on the sideline with an older quarterback in Brett Favre, and he admitted to being cold and it impacting him. And when I look at Drew Brees, they don't want Tom Brady. He's mentioned. You're not going to catch me living in the Northeast anymore, right, or up north. Like, they don't want to be in those climates. But the difference is Tom Brady has found this idea of, and he said Bill Belichick taught him this, where you got 3 hours. 3 hours. Forget practice. You got 3 hours in one opportunity every time you step on that field for 3 hours to just give me everything you can as best as you can. And so, but you can't attest and you can't account for that weather. And when it's cold and it's not going right, it quickly goes south.
Yeah.
And that's the concern I have for Drew Brees and the Saints and Tom Brady and the Bucks going into Lambeau.
Yeah, I think it's a really good point with New Orleans and Brees, and just, you know, not that I'm old or anything, but you creak a little more when you get that.
Just a little bit.
When that 5 is the first number in your age, I can attest to that. Greg Jennings, buddy, great seeing you. You do a great job on the games. Thanks so much, man.
I appreciate it. Happy New Year to you guys.
Same to you. I have actually a theory, and I have a lot of theories, and many are wrong, but I have a theory on why Tua is struggling. I want you to hear me out. You won't hear this anywhere else, and I may be wrong. Trent Dilfer's on next hour. He can listen to it, too. I have a theory on Tua and what he needs and why he is playing so safe. That's coming up.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific.
It is a pleasure to have you in on a Monday, top of next hour, where Colin was right, where Colin was wrong. Plenty of both. Steph Curry had quite a night last night in the NBA. Holy crow. So Tua, and we said last week, Sunday's going to be really interesting. Because you have big, strong, mobile, huge arm Josh Allen, small, less mobile, decent arm, not special, Tua. And I loved Tua coming out of college. I loved him. In fact, I said Tua won, Herbert and Burrow next. And then right before the season started, joy is my witness, I said, I'm worried about Tua. He hadn't played yet. And I said, I'm worried about him. I watch Herbert's size and arm and mobility, and I see Burrow's kind of flexible, Tony Romo, ad-lib, make-it-up coolness. And Tua's very system and very safe. And yes, he'll be accurate, but I worry about Tua. And this, yesterday, is what I worry about. 5.7 yards an attempt. That's playing it safe. And with a lot of young quarterbacks, it is harder to evaluate. They go to bad teams. Is the head coach right? Anthony Lynn, Justin Herbert, is he holding them back? The culture, the personnel, God, will the Bengals front office and offensive line be the undoing of Joe Burrow? Those are very fair questions. That's my question with both the Chargers and the Bengals. But with Tua, it's different. The coach appears to be great. The GM aced the draft and free agency. The culture, the momentum, the defense, the special teams, they're excellent. Now, the offensive line and the weapons are not great, but they seem to work for Ryan Fitzpatrick. Yards per attempt, Ryan Fitzpatrick is 8th in the league and Tua's 30th. And when you watch Josh Allen on the same field with Tua yesterday, forget the number of games they've played, just the quantifiable it stuff, size, mobility, confidence, arm, swagger. It's a 4-point student and a 2.8 student. It's B- to A+. And I'm not saying, you know, again, with Justin Herbert and Joe Burrow, and even Josh Allen is a rookie, Patrick Mahomes' first start, year one, week 7, there's like a whoa factor. Whoa! What did I just see? I'm 9 games in with Tua. And he's kind of, you know, he moves pretty well in the pocket. He's accurate. That's kind of baseline stuff, right? It's like loving your kids. Like, accurately throws the football. I kind of hope you are. That should be kind of a given. It wasn't with Josh Allen, but you're not going to work in the NFL if you look like Andy Dalton did yesterday. You're just not going to work in the NFL. But I'm going to throw something at you. So we are all products, myself included, of our environment. I had kind of a witty, fun mom. I had kind of a serious dad. So sometimes I have a sense of humor, but I can be serious. We're all kind of products of what we're raised around. So let's look at Tua, who had a rigid, punitive father, a strong father. There was one way to play football, and it came from dad. And then he went to St. Louis High School in Honolulu, the best high school football program on the islands. Cal Lee, a legendary defensive-minded coach, was his coach. Cal Lee's got a system and a way to play. Defense wins games. Then he went to Nick Saban, who's got a system too, and he's a defensive coach. Just don't lose it for us. And then he goes to Brian Flores, who is also a defensive coach. That's his football environment. Strong dad, punitive high school, punitive college. Defense, 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 defense. System, system, system. When I watch Tua, he looks like he's been raised around people that have told him, don't lose the game. Keep it accurate. Keep it safe. We'll dial you stuff you can do. Now, maybe I'm wrong here. Maybe this is just what he is. But if you had 4 defensive coaches your whole life and a strong-willed dad, maybe this is a little bit, maybe he needs a progressive young offensive coach. Maybe he needs a Brian Dable-level coordinator, a risk-taker. But when I watch him, he plays safe. Well, that's mostly what Nick Saban's coaches do. Tom Brady in New England was good, but he wasn't a big risk-taker. Tom would throw it away. Tom even practiced getting sacked. Tom didn't make a lot of mistakes. Tom didn't just let it rip. Flores, Saban, Cal Lee, dad, that's what he's been around his whole life. That's what he's heard. Those are the voices. You wake up, you can hear him. You go to bed, you can hear him. Maybe it's time to get him to loosen him up. Ryan Fitzpatrick clearly doesn't view football the same way. Ryan, I'd like to bring in a little bit. He's Mr. Loose, Mr. Gunslinger, far very much like that. Tua is the exact opposite of the spectrum. Where I just feel like he just doesn't want to make a mistake. And I think that is, that's like thinking when you're shooting a basketball. If you're not, you know, the late Kobe Bryant, if you're not willing to shoot an air ball, then you shouldn't be a shooter. I mean, 0-for-8 to the late Kobe Bryant meant, well, I've got to hit the 9th. I'm not going to miss 9 straight shots. Boy, Tua throws a pick. He gets a little more rigid. He gets a little more safe. And, or maybe I'm wrong. Maybe they need better weapons and it'll correct everything. But just a thought. as we move into hour two on a Monday. Folks, Michelin wipers, Walmart's the place you get them, last two times longer. Michelin Endurance XT silicone wiper blades in a Monday. Colin right, Colin wrong next.